When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following podcast contains audio extracted from videos on the Harry Potter Theory YouTube channel. Hey everyone, welcome to another installment of Harry Potter Theory. Today we're going to be discussing Hogwarts and its four founders, Godric Gryffindor, Salazar Slytherin, Rowena Ravenclaw, and Helga Hufflepuff. Specifically, we'll be taking a closer look at the legacy they left behind, seeing if their contributions to the wizarding world are perhaps even greater than previously imagined. We're also going to be taking a closer look at what actually happened to them. We know that they planned for the future and their absence by creating the Sorting Hat. This allowed them to continue to sort students into their respective houses long after they were gone from the school. But my theory today asserts that they left something else behind. Given that the four founders demonstrated concern for how the school would operate in their absence, it stands to reason that they would have also been concerned with the safety of the school students, and, well, the school itself. The wizarding world can be a dangerous place, and I would venture to say that it was particularly dangerous when Hogwarts was founded. Fortunately for Hogwarts and its students, however, it had four of the most powerful witches and wizards ever to exist to protect it. In fact, the level of magical power possessed by the four Hogwarts founders is said to have been so extraordinary and unmatched that even in modern times, no one has been able to match or replicate their incredible feats and accomplishments. So surely, if they wished for Hogwarts to continue on in all of its glory, they must have considered the potential dangers to the school in a world where they were no longer around. And here's the theory. They put ancient magic in place to protect Hogwarts and all of its students. The founders, known for their exceptional magical abilities, were dedicated to imparting their extensive knowledge and wisdom to future generations of witches and wizards, ultimately laying the foundation for the prestigious institution that is Hogwarts. But they weren't strangers to the countless dangers that come with running a magical school filled with young students. At the time, persecution of witches and wizards at the hands of Muggles was significant, and in a time where magic ran rampant, there also existed a threat from dark wizards. Bearing these things in mind, the founders recognized the potential risks that could jeopardize the future of Hogwarts, and promptly began to consider ways to ensure its eternal protection and sustainability. Step one in achieving this goal was casting the necessary concealment charms, a type of magical spell used in the wizarding world to conceal objects or locations from view and to obscure their inherent magical properties. The introduction of concealment charms in the wizarding world served as a crucial protective measure to shield the magical population from potential persecution by the Muggle community, and Hogwarts was no exception to this. These charms, along with other magical protections, such as Muggle repelling charms and illusions, are strategically employed to conceal a number of significant magical locations, including Diagon Alley and the Hogwarts Express departure point, from the non-magical populace. As the witch hunts grew ever fiercer, wizarding families began to live double lives, using charms of concealment to protect themselves and their families. By the 17th century, any witch or wizard who chose to fraternize with Muggles became suspect, even an outcast in his or her own community. By rendering locations unplottable and utilizing natural tendencies for non-magical individuals to ignore things they cannot explain or understand, these concealment charms effectively safeguard the wizarding world from unwanted attention and interference. The International Statute of Wizarding Secrecy, established in 1692, further underscores the need for minimal interaction between the magical and Muggle communities, with the concealment charms playing a pivotal role in maintaining this separation. In the case of Hogwarts, sufficient charms were put in place to entirely conceal Hogwarts from the Muggle gaze, and if a Muggle got close enough, Hogwarts Castle would have appeared to be a pile of abandoned ruins. But the founders weren't stupid. They knew that concealing the school from Muggles wouldn't be nearly enough to keep Hogwarts thriving in all of its glory. They knew that, eventually, the school would face new wizarding threats, and that these concealment charms wouldn't serve any purpose in that regard. They needed to think bigger. And what is the most powerful form of lasting magic in the wizarding world? Why, the power of love and sacrifice, of course. This type of magic, commonly referred to as sacrificial protection, is as ancient as it is powerful. And how it works is simple. When a witch or wizard chooses to forfeit their life in exchange for the life of someone they love, the spell kicks in, initially shielding their loved one from immediate harm, and then forming an incredibly strong and long-lasting protective after-effect. As dying in an effort to save another person's life is seen as the ultimate sacrifice by many, it's no surprise that this particular spell has been known within some communities of the wizarding world as the ultimate protection, one that may seem rather familiar. Of course, this familiarity is due to the fact that, as many of you will remember, the sacrificial protection countercharm is the very spell that saved Harry Potter's life as an infant. In fact, it was the only reason he was able to survive Voldemort's killing curse and become the boy who lived. For, at the mere age of one, Harry was able to walk away from the Avada Kedavra curse thanks in no small part to his mother, Lily Potter, choosing to willingly sacrifice her own life in an effort to protect her son. In The Goblet of Fire, Dumbledore explains how even Voldemort underestimated the power of this type of magic, saying to Harry, "You would be protected by an ancient magic of which he knows, which he despises, and which he has always therefore underestimated to his cost. I'm speaking, of course, of the fact that your mother died to save you. She gave you a lingering protection he never expected, a protection that flows in your veins to this day." And Lily's sacrifice isn't the only one that shows up in the series. In fact, Harry ends up doing exactly what his mother does, but to a much more significant degree. In the Deathly Hallows, Harry meets his demise as he is struck by Voldemort's killing curse, only to wake up in the afterlife. But before surrendering himself to Voldemort in the forest, Harry had lots of choices. He could have run, he could have hid, he could have just stayed fighting at the castle. But instead, he decided to come and face his death at the hands of Voldemort in order to protect everyone who opposed him. In this way, he protected others from Voldemort just like Lily tried to protect him. And that's why when Harry gets killed, a loving sacrifice is placed upon every single witch and wizard on his side. As Harry lies dead on the ground, Voldemort believes he has won. But in reality, Voldemort had just made his own life a lot more difficult. Harry later mentions this to Voldemort, who is wielding the Elder Wand, when he says, "I've done what my mother did. They're protected from you. Haven't you noticed how none of the spells you put on them aren't binding? You can't torture them. You can't touch them." And what this demonstrates to me is that the limits of this sacrificial protection are far greater than previously considered. If Harry Potter was able to cast one of the most powerful pieces of magic shown in the books, then just imagine what the four founders would be able to accomplish. Do you follow? One of the greatest mysteries surrounding the four Hogwarts founders is, what happened to them? There's very little on record which indicates how they may have died. And while the details surrounding their deaths may have simply been lost to the annals of history, I find it hard to believe that four wizards of such power and influence could just be erased from the history books in this manner. Conventional knowledge would suggest that they just passed away peacefully. But they were extraordinary witches and wizards that led extraordinary lives. How are we supposed to believe that their deaths were so mundane? Here's what I think. The four founders cast the most powerful sacrificial protection that the world has ever seen. Helga Hufflepuff sacrificed herself out of her kindness and concern for others. Ravenclaw sacrificed herself because of the value she placed on knowledge, wisdom, and education. And Gryffindor sacrificed himself because it was the brave and courageous decision that needed to be made. In the books, Dumbledore mentions that the castle is a stronghold of ancient magic. When Ron discusses how Sirius broke into Hogwarts, Hermione says that this castle is protected by more than walls. And in the Philosopher's Stone, Hagrid tells Harry that Gringotts is the safest place there is, except maybe Hogwarts. It seems like just about everyone perceives Hogwarts to be the safest place in the wizarding world, and I think that it's thanks to three of the four founders. I do suspect that Slytherin, on the other hand, was not part of this protection, acting instead on his own self-interests and refusing to take part in such a sacrifice. And it's possible that it was this very disagreement that led to Slytherin's departure from the school. So Hogwarts worked in harmony for several happy years, but then discord crept among us, feeding on our faults and fears. The houses that, like Pillars 4, had once held up our school, now turned upon each other and, divided, sought to rule. And for a while it seemed the school must meet an early end, what with dueling and with fighting and the clash of friend on friend. And at last there came a morning when old Slytherin departed, and though the fighting then died out, he left us quite downhearted. And so, I believe the three remaining founders sacrificed themselves to protect future generations of the school. However, just like with any magic, I suspect there may have been a time limit on how long this protection lasted. The inception of Hogwarts is generally described as 10th century, but to get more granular, the actual year was 990 AD. And I think this date is significant, because it's exactly 1,000 years before the year that Harry started Hogwarts in 1991. Over the course of the books, death is very rare at Hogwarts, but it does happen. Cedric dies in the events following the Triwizard Tournament, and the good guys experience significant casualties during the first bout of the Battle of Hogwarts, prior to Harry's own sacrifice. But this all occurred after 1990, when their millennium-long protection had worn off. And for the 1,000-year span of time between 990 to 1990, the only real notable death was of Moaning Myrtle, one student in 1,000 years. And I think that the only reason she died was because her death was somehow connected to Salazar Slytherin. Perhaps Slytherin, the only unwilling participant in this great sacrifice, was the only one capable of inflicting harm upon the Hogwarts populace. After all, it was his basilisk that claimed Myrtle's life. And so, I believe it was the Hogwarts founder's great sacrifice that kept Hogwarts safe for so many years. But just in case you still aren't convinced, let me point you to a passage from the books where Dumbledore describes the very charm, piggybacking on the power of Lily's sacrifice, capable of protecting Harry for so many years. "She may have taken you grudgingly, furiously, unwillingly, bitterly, yet still she took you, and in doing so, she sealed the charm I placed upon you. Your mother's sacrifice made the bond of blood the strongest shield I could give you. While you can still call home the place where your mother's blood dwells, there you cannot be touched or harmed by Voldemort. He shed her blood, but it lives on in you and her sister. Her blood became your refuge. You need return there only once a year, but as long as you can still call it home, whilst you are there, he cannot hurt you. If this magic exists, and even Dumbledore knows how to wield it with the correct charm, why would the founders not have used it? What do you think? Does this theory check out? What do you agree with? What don't you agree with? Let me know in the comment section down below. Until next time, remember, it does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live.